This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 164, the mistake that gets you a 2 on the IELTS listening test.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Get started with our 7 easy steps to a 7 or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Now, let's get to the show.
In today's IELTS Energy episode, you are going to hear the rumor about the speaking test that will pull your score down and find out the truth for the score you need. Hey, Lindsay, how are you doing? It's almost the weekend.
I know. I'm super excited. I'm glad it's the weekend and ready to relax. It's been a tough week. It's been a very intense one. I'm sure for our listeners, too, that they're preparing for IELTS. I mean, that's intense stuff.
I know, right? I mean, I was just talking to a student in our course yesterday or the day before in one of our power hours, and she's doing her PhD at the same time.
Like, Oh, my gosh.
Oh my God. And I know that she's putting in so much work for our course. I mean, she's improved. I mean, just looking at her writing, because she's met with me a few times now. And from doing our course and meeting with me, her writing has improved at least a band and a half. I mean, it's so impressive. So I can see all the hard work she's doing, like following my advice and going through all the exercises, doing the practice test. And I don't know where she has time to do a PhD as well.
That's so cool. I'm so inspired by our students. It's amazing what these guys are doing. And it's so cool that when you have a dream that matters to you, you want to be at a certain place in your life, achieve a certain goal, and you sit down and you put in the work. There's nothing more admirable than that to me.
I know. I'm very inspired by the students that we get to work with. I mean, because you could see how much time they spend in our course doing all the work and watching the videos and learning and studying. And I mean, they still have like families that they're taking care of and jobs they're going to. And No, it's amazing.
Oh, I'm so proud. So cool. So what are we talking about today, Jessica? We're talking about speaking today.
We are talking about a question that a student in our course had actually. So I think this is, it might be sort of a myth that gets passed around that, using memorized phrases can lower your score. And I've actually heard some teachers tell students that also. Let me tell you what it says for the descriptors. Like, what does the examiner grade you on as far as this goes? So, if you memorize like a whole speaking answer, like a whole speaking part two, for example, if you memorized a two-minute speech before the exam, and then you come in and it doesn't matter what it says on the speaking part two card, you just launch into your memorized speech and it has nothing to do with the topic. Like, that will obviously, like, you'll get a really bad score, because the examiner the examiner knows, okay? The examiners are also teachers and they know what you are capable of. They can tell if these are your words or not. So in that extreme case, yes, that would just ruin your score because those aren't your words, right? Like, it's just something memorized.
And it's not relevant to the question. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where that comes from. Yes, if you memorize whole answers, it will hurt your score. Of course, you should never do that anyway because you don't know what the questions are going to be. So I think that's where her question came from. And what she's wondering is, these sort of transition phrases that we talk about, I am of the opinion that many people, blah, 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 or it would be extremely advantageous to blah, blah, blah. These phrases, you have to memorize them and use them.
Right. I mean, to some extent, like, there's inherent memorization in learning vocabulary. I mean, there is some aspect memorization just by learning it, right? You're learning a phrase, a chunk, and I guess you could say you're memorizing that to some extent.
Exactly, exactly. And that's exactly what I said in my response to her question was like, you know, I mean, when you think about it, everything we say has been memorized at some point. I mean, every, you know, vocabulary word or grammar rule or sentence structure, everything we say, you did, especially in your second language, of course, like you did like actively memorize and remember this at some point. So that's not like, that's not the problem. It's full memorized answers, not small chunks. Okay. Like these phrases we're telling you. And there's really no way that you can produce the language that the examiner wants without memorizing stuff.
If you want to go deeper with the best tips, tricks, advice, and guidance to get your 7 or higher as quickly as possible, you can get our new 3-part video masterclass. Go to allearsenglish.com/insider and you can download it for free. You can watch video one today. Go to allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. See you there. Right. And maybe one of the things that our listener is worried about, the student in our course, is maybe sounding memorized, right? To make sure it doesn't sound like it's been memorized. And there are definitely certain things we could do there with those chunks, like using tone of voice properly, right? Using body language, things like that to make sure it doesn't sound rehearsed.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, making sure you're not just memorizing it, but you're knowing the context of how to use it. Cause it will count against you if you just memorize a phrase, but you're not exactly sure what it means. And then you just throw it in anywhere. Like, yeah, that'll count or against you for it. Sure. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Of course. So it's all about, you know, context, right? Where does that phrase go? Where does it belong?
Yeah, it's a really good idea, guys, that after you listen to our podcast where we give you the transition phrases and the linking words to use on the test, that's, you know, you can't just stop there and then expect to be able to produce them. You have to see them in a variety of contexts. So the best thing to do is just to put the whole phrase into Google. Just Google the whole phrase and you're going to get, you know, 1,000 examples of how this phrase is used by native speakers in their writing and what have you. So that's really the best thing you could do. And then just read at least 4 or 5 examples, of what this phrase is accomplishing and how it's used.
Ooh, I like that idea. Just put it right into Google, not Google Translate.
Put
it into Google search and just find it. That's perfect. Google will do the work for you. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And this just came to mind because I was just looking at a student's writing, before we started recording. And I think like in his conclusion, he said something like, to conclude the summary of my ideas or something. And it was kind of a combination of two other phrases and and it didn't make sense. So, I mean, he should have memorized that. Like he should know that the phrase is to conclude, like not to add to conclude the summary. So my point is, guys, that you do have to memorize these phrases. Okay. Yeah. So you use them correctly with the correct grammar, but you also have to see them in context so you know when to use them.
Right. Exactly. Because just because we have the phrase doesn't mean it's going to get us the score we need. If we put it in a place that doesn't make any sense or if it sounds redundant like it did in that answer because the student didn't quite know how to use it, right? That's the big piece of language. How do we use the language?
Yeah, exactly. And it's the longer phrases that are going to get you the highest marks in the speaking and writing. Like, my favorite is always, I am of the opinion that, like, I mean, that's almost a whole sentence. Like, it's a super long phrase, but that's like, because it's more complicated, it's going to get you higher scores. Yes. So, I mean, that's what you want to be using, right? In speaking part 3 and writing task 2. But you can't just like read it a couple times and then expect to use it. Like it, there's a lot of little words there. You have to remember the correct order. So yes, you do have to memorize it. Make a list of these words, of all these transition phrases that we give you on our show, and memorize them and then practice using them.
And one thing I love about the advice that we throw out there is that it's all directly linked to the scoring system. Like, we always go back and we look at the descriptors online, right, Jessica? And we see, you know, we want to answer a question. We see how to give advice based on what the examiner is going to, how the examiner is going to give out a score. And I love that. It's not just that we're giving you guys phrases because we like the way they sound, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that phrase, "I am of the opinion that," is a linchpin phrase, right? It's going to get you the best value, the best bang for your buck. I mean, it makes sense to use that.
Yeah. And if you are studying with a teacher who does not know these descriptors, then they're not going to know how important these transition phrases are. I mean, they might be just working with you on sounding natural, which is not going to get you the highest score on the exam, because in my natural way of speaking, I don't use those phrases.
Right.
So if you're working with someone that doesn't know the exam, sure, maybe they're going to help you sound more like a native speaker, but they're not going to help you get a high score. You have to know like what the examiner is looking for, because it's very specific, you guys. I mean, in our course, we break down exactly like, what does a 7 mean? What does the examiner have to see in order to give you an 8? And what are you going to do and get a 5 because you made these specific mistakes? These are just outlined in very clear language for you guys. I mean, you can go to Google and type in IELTS band descriptors speaking or writing, and you could read through that whole table yourself. But you might, I don't know, it's kind of confusing. There's a lot of information on there. So instead, it's a good idea to work with an IELTS professional who already has memorized that whole table and can explain it to you in very clear, simple ways.
Absolutely. I love that. Perfect. And guys, if you want to find out more about our course, come back to IELTS.allearsenglish.com and watch the video on the homepage and check it out. Because again, if our dreams really matter to us, I mean, we want to find the quickest route to our dreams to make sure that we don't take the chance of not getting there, right? Because that to me is the tragedy. You know, what's at stake here is our future.
Exactly. And you can't just trust any like piecemeal rumors that you're hearing. I mean, like the question that our student asked, that's not even related to anything like real on the exam. I mean, it comes from something real. There's a grain of truth there that if you do memorize an answer, you know, you're going to get a 1 or a 2 on the speaking exam.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's kind of related, but no, it's just totally wrong. Like, I don't know where she got that idea, but I mean, oh God, can you imagine if like she weren't in our course and she couldn't ask us? Then she would think that she couldn't use any of these linking phrases because she couldn't memorize them. And then she'd get a really bad score.
Yeah, it's dangerous to do this on your own, guys, because you have no one to turn to. I mean, again, we take your questions on this podcast, but usually our average response time minimum is a month to reply to your question.
Yeah.
Okay, a month. But in our course, we answer our students' questions at least within 24 to 48 hours, where usually faster.
Yeah,
absolutely. So guys, if it matters, if your future matters enough to you, it makes sense to get yourself into a smart system that is directly linked to the scoring system. You have no time to waste. I mean, we just don't have time to waste.
And there's so many rumors out there, guys. Sometimes I go online and look at some of these IELTS forums just to see, you know, what questions you guys have and what worries candidates have before the exam, so we can make our course stronger and we can give you guys what you need on the podcast. And I'm just shocked sometimes. Like, I don't know where these ideas come from. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Scary. If everyone who's preparing for IELTS would just stop doing those things and just stop listening and reading anything else and just do our course, then there would be no malicious rumors that are ruining your scores out there.
and everyone would be getting amazing scores. We'd really raise the bar on the whole IELTS exam, right? I mean, that would just be incredible.
They would have to like rewrite the test because yeah. everyone would be harder. Getting like eights. And they're like, what? Well, it's three keys IELTS. Ding.
Well, maybe that day will come. Maybe that day will come. I'm sure it will. Feeling good about that. All right. This has been fun. Jessica, thanks for hanging out today. And again, guys, don't trust the rumors. Get yourself into a smart system that you can trust. You have someone you can turn to when you have questions like these.
Exactly. And Lindsay and I are here to help you. So check out our course, guys. Go to IELTS.allearsenglish.com. Check out our course, which is called Three Keys IELTS.
Yes. Excellent. All right, Jessica, I will see you back here next week.
Sounds good. Have an awesome weekend.
You too. Enjoy.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.